Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International. This is our series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Part 3 continued.
So first precursor to parent love maturity, positive brain orientation or a high joy brain. Interestingly, the positive psychology people have developed a number of very simple skills for increasing positive brain orientation. Simple as every day stop and for 15 minutes every day stop and write down three things you're grateful for that occurred that day. Someone does that for 21 days, their brain starts to scan for the positive, and they become increasingly more positively oriented. Most of us are trained to be negatively oriented. Most of us don't have what Charlotte Mason called the habit of sweet thoughts. Wouldn't that be a great gift to give your children? The habit of sweet thoughts rather than the habit of what's wrong. The second precursor. It's something that psychologists call mind sight, and I talked a little bit about this last time. Mind sight is the capacity to be aware of what's happening in me and of what's happening in you. It's the capacity to know my own mind and to know your mind, as opposed to just being reactive. You probably realize that we all have a brain, and that that brain is programmed to react in a certain way. Now, we for most of the last 400 or 500 years, we've wanted to believe that the way it works is something like this, depending that we either have an idea and that leads to an action, or we have a desire and that leads to an action. Actually, what contemporary research shows is that we start to move in a certain direction to respond to the situation before we're even aware of a desire or of a thought about that situation. Someone walks into the door, through the door. I recognize them, and immediately I have a positive reaction because it's someone I know and trust and value. So a slight smile goes onto my face. My heart rate perhaps goes up a slight notch, but it's not stress, and a feeling of joy starts to develop within me. Now that all happens at least 0.3 seconds before I'm even aware that I'm positively predisposed to this person. I haven't had even any thoughts about this person yet. Depending upon who you listen to, we process 10 to 20,000 times as much information unconsciously as we do consciously. So I've already started to react to any given situation long before, in terms of brain speed, long before I become aware of a desire or a thought about that situation. Somebody walks in the door and I don't like them, I'm already leveraged for a hostile response before I even had a thought or a desire regarding that person. Now, what difference does that make? Does that mean we're just robots and that we're just going to live out our programming? No, because actually we've got about 0.3 seconds from the time we become aware before we actually do anything. And what we can do is we can redirect. So someone walks through the door and my immediate reaction is to frown. And I've already started to move in that direction. Before the frown goes across my face, I can say, wait. No, I'm going to move in a different direction. But to do that requires something called mindsight. That I'm actually aware of what's happening in me. This is the difference between what I consider to be bad marriage counseling and good marriage counseling. I have, as most of you know, my professional career has been as a counselor. I've had hundreds of married couples in my office, and I've also seen a lot of, call it bad Christian marriage counseling. Bad Christian marriage counseling looks something like this. Here's what the Bible says you're supposed to do. So husband, you go do this, and wife, you go do this. And if you'll just obey it and do what I tell you, everything will be fine. Do you know, I've never seen that work. Because it doesn't look at heart reactions. What good marriage counseling does is it says, let's take a pause here. What's happening inside you when he does X, Y, or Z? What's happening inside of you when she does X, Y, and Z? And what is that about? And what's the dance the two of you do together that ends up getting you both in high degrees of pain? In other words, any real growth in relationship requires that we learn the art of mindsight, which means I become aware of what's happening in me. Because if I don't become aware of what's happening in me, I just react. And if you're in my counseling office, your reactions have not been very helpful. To you or your spouse. And if we just react to our children, it's generally not very helpful to them. There is the pause that says, wait. Right now, I am in a lot of emotional distress over the fact that you just broke some treasure of mine. Well, if I'm in a high degree of emotional distress, I'm really not in a place to lovingly discipline you. So I need to call time out and deal with my own stuff before I deal with you. The way Jesus described it is he said, you really have to get the 2x4 out of your own eye before you try to take the splinter out of your child's eye. And to get the 2x4 out of our own eye is to practice mindsight. What's happening in me here? I mean, it is very interesting. If you were kind to Mother Teresa, you got love, joy, and peace. If you were unkind to Mother Teresa, you got love, joy, and peace. Because that's what she had cultivated within herself. Or she would say that's what God had cultivated in her. Mindsight pauses and says, what's happening inside of me? And does it have to be that way? And am I in a condition to respond lovingly to you? And if not, I probably need to call a little time out from myself. But that's only the first half of mindsight. The second half of MindSight allows me to ask the question, what's happening in you? I mean, it is amazing the way we can miss each other. The way we can respond really to our own stuff. It's in the pause that we find the freedom to move away from our worst self and towards our best self. The way the verbal logical explainer, or the left prefrontal cortex works, is it fabricates stories after the fact. In other words, so one of our children gets in trouble because they, or one of, it gets in distress because somehow they had a conflict with another classmate. And if you ask both classmates, it's interesting the stories they will develop. Because generally they're writing stories that will put themselves in the best possible light. I mean, isn't that what we do? I mean, think of the last time you had a conflict with your spouse. And when you start explaining it to yourself, we tend to explain it to ourselves in a way that puts us in the best possible light. Our verbal logical explainers do not naturally seek the truth. They seek to develop a story that puts us in the best possible light. That's what all of our natural tendencies are. The practice of MindSight is the pause that says, wait, I'm in a distressing situation here. I am really prone to make up a story right now that makes me look good. At least vis-a-vis you. And it's in the pause that I can say, wait, no, I'm not going to do that. Let's wait and see how this works out. I'd like to know how you were feeling, how you saw it. I'm going to withhold judgment. So, I say these are precursors to functioning at the parent level of maturity. Because I don't see how you function like a parent. And what parents do is seek the well-being of children at personal cost. I don't see how you do that if you don't stay fundamentally at a high joy state and you're not able to pause and say, what's really going on with me? Our freedom really exists in the pause. When I don't necessarily go with the automatic explanation that my brain gives me, or the automatic motivations or response patterns that my brain gives me. Freedom exists really in the 0.2 seconds from the time I become aware that I'm responding in a certain way and before I move into a definite course of action. When I can say, wait, let's move in the direction of love, joy, and peace rather than in the direction of selfishness, anger, frustration, control bitterness or what have you.
Thank you for listening to Ambleside Flourish's series on the pursuit of maturity with Dr. Bill St. Cyr, Executive Director of Ambleside Schools International, hosted by Ambleside School of Colorado. Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at AmblesideSchools.com.